A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are thinking not as God does, but as humans do." And Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone wants to become my follower, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit anyone to gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will anyone give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each according to their work." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love has always won. There have been tyrants and murderers, and for a time they may seem invincible, but in the end, they always fall. Think of it, always. These words we might assume were spoken by Jesus, but they weren't. They may have inspired this person, but they were not spoken by Jesus. In fact, these words were spoken by a very faithful Hindu who also embraced, because he respected, the Quran of the Islamic faith, the Torah in the Hebrew and the Hebrew scriptures of the Jews, but also the New Testament, the Christian scriptures as well. And he was able to meld them all together. He saw less of a distinction and difference, but he always looked for and sought out what was common in all of them. But there was one particular passage that he even said himself had a great influence upon him, and he said it was the Sermon on the Mount. And that includes, or began actually, with the Beatitudes. But we go through chapter 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew's Gospel, and what you hear is Jesus laying out what it would look like for an individual to be a disciple. You are to love your neighbor, do good to those, not just your friends or your family, people who agree with you, but in fact, we are to love our enemy, to do good to those who would harm us and persecute us. And those who would attempt to humiliate us, we turn the other cheek, we walk the extra mile, we give away what we have, so that we give a message to the other person that you have no control or power over us. And you may try to use violence of all forms, but you will not defeat us. But we will not ever use violence against you. So this individual, when he gave us these wonderful words of wisdom, he understood what the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount truly meant. It was all about actively resisting violence through non-violent means. It was not about being a pacifist. No. Because a pacifist is someone who lays down and lets a person walk all over them and they do nothing to challenge the situation. No, no. This individual understood what Jesus was teaching in his word and his action, and it was to actively resist violence through nonviolence. He used this idea to bring about the independence of his country. His country was ruled by the British Empire, and at the time of its independence, there were 20,000 soldiers trying to keep under control over 300 million Indian people. The person who said these words was Mahatma Gandhi. He knew that they had the power to overthrow the British with violence. But he chose not to use violence for two very basic reasons. And I think he got these ideas from Jesus. The first reason why he would not use this violence to overthrow their tyrants and their murderers was because if you say you believe in mercy and compassion and justice and equality for all people, to turn around now and to use violence against your oppressor, then how am I any better than those who are oppressing me if I use the same violence? So he knew that it would discredit who they were. But equally important, he knew that if we use violence, it will only escalate further violence down the road to the point that we may, in fact, have leaders in the future within our country who will resort to violence, not just against other nations, but against their own people. Mahatma Gandhi understood the principle that Jesus was trying to teach. To be actively, through nonviolence, resist all evil. Even if it means there's a personal cost to the self. Peter, however, did not get it. Though he could say, "Yes, Lord, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," the moment Jesus says to him, "You are right, but know this, Peter, and the rest of you disciples, that I am going to Jerusalem where I will be put to death. I will rise, but I am going to be put to death." Peter's response is, "No, Lord, this can never happen to you. God doesn't want this. God forbids it." But Jesus, looking at Peter, is probably thinking, "Don't you know that the words of the prophets are all about challenging the unethical, the immoral, the criminal behavior of murderers and tyrants in the world, and that God doesn't want this in our world or in our societies, but he is calling people forward and putting in them his words to challenge anything and everything that goes against being at harmony and at peace with one another." So Jesus is looking at Peter and saying, "Of course God doesn't want me to die a violent death any more than he wants that person over there to die a violent death. But God also wants us to challenge those who are committing these crimes against humanity, to help them be free of this belief or this need to oppress another person. If we say nothing and do nothing to challenge them, then it will continue to go on and on. But Jesus was instructing his disciples, showing them how to actively resist criminal behavior, unethical behavior, destructive behavior, violent behavior, but never with any form of violence. So Jesus will say to Peter and the rest of them, if you are my follower, pick up your cross. He did not say, pick up the cross that the Romans use, because the cross that the Romans use was a form of shaming, intimidation, and murder. It was violence, their cross. Jesus says, pick up your cross. And Jesus' cross, our cross, is to be one and the same. And it is to be truth and love. The truth is that we stand eye to eye and toe to toe with those who wish to harm you or another. And we lovingly challenge them with the truth. What you are doing is wrong. Trying to control other people's lives is wrong. Trying to diminish and dehumanize another person because they don't look like you, they don't act like you, they don't speak like you, they're not you. But there's nothing wrong with that person not being you. The only thing that's wrong here is that you wish to do violence to another. So we speak the truth, not to humiliate, not to shame, but to provoke a response of a change of heart and a change of mind to become more compassionate. And this is where love comes in, because we must love the person that we are speaking to. It doesn't mean we approve of what they're doing or love what they're doing, of course not. But we love the person because we want to love them out of their behavior into a new way of being. If we do that, we will be called to let go of our old self, where we feel it is okay to seek revenge or to resort to violence. If we can lose that life, then what we may do is save the person before us from further violence. But if I choose to hold on to the life I have and perhaps hide away and don't address the violence in our world or in our own personal lives, then I've lost the opportunity to save the other and to save myself. And I have, in fact, lost my life. So in Jesus' wisdom, he said to Peter and to his disciples and to us, pick up your cross, the cross of truth and love, so that this world may change. But Peter, the disciples, and each one of us, we have to change within ourselves first. We need to address the violence within us, within our thoughts, within our words, within our feelings, and certainly within our actions. And to the degree that we address it and it is transformed, the truth of who we can become is revealed, and we become that loving presence in the world. So let us end where we began. When I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love has always won. There have been tyrants and murderers And for a time they may seem invincible, but in the end they always fall. Think of it. Always.